Thessalonians chapter 2 again as we continue our journey through 1 Thessalonians. We're today going to look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, I'll read 12 and 13. Paul was praying for the church there that they would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I love that. And I believe with all my heart that we have been blessed to sit together in that kingdom this morning already, with all of my heart. As that song service was going on and God was blessing us with his presence. Now verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, ye received it when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, Kevin Kennedy's wife Carrie has. I've got to where I just feel like I've got to title every sermon. Sometimes that's hard to do. But she will not tolerate it if I don't talk. When I'm at Shiloh, she will not put up with it if I don't title my sermon. So this one I'm going to call How to Get the Full Effect. How to Get the Full Effect. Don't you want that? We want the full effect of everything, don't we? And not only that, we want it now.
Yeah.
How to get the full effect. Okay. Now, I want you to notice, of course, now what happened, remember now, Paul and Timotheus and some other brethren established the church there at Thessalonica. So they heard the word preached by men, and it converted them. Do you remember now? They gave up paganism. Mm-hmm. They gave up. Have you ever just stopped to think that if we're going to follow Christ, we're going to have to give up something? And most of what we have to give up isn't worth keeping in the first place compared to what we gain.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Well, they gave up, you know, that, and they, you know, became a church. They were established into a New Testament church. So please notice that Paul says, let me read the first part of this verse again. He was thanking the Lord for them because when they received the word of God, which they heard of us, in other words, you heard the word of God preached by men. That's curious, not angels. We're studying angels on Wednesday night. The Lord didn't send angels to the church of Thessalonica. He sent fallen men. That is a mystery to some degree. But notice that even though they heard the word of God from men, they received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you know what he's talking about ultimately, don't you? Y'all realize God used men to write this, right? Mm-hmm. God used men. I forget how many men right now, several different men, starting with Moses on down through, you know, prophets and all that, minor prophets, major prophets, New Testament people, the apostles. I forget, neighborhood of 30 or so different men. But will you admit this is the word of God? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, you want to get the full effect? You want to get the full effect of it? May I insist first thing you're going to have to do is admit this is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Not just the Word of man. If I think it's just the Word of man, well, I'll start to slice it and dice it, and I'll omit the part. You know, I mean, I have heard men, I've actually heard men in the pulpit say, they'll read from the King James and they'll say, well, but that part right there is not in the Word of God. I have heard that said. I know. That's messed up. And I'm being polite. Okay. All right, I need your prayer so bad. They received it not just as the word, something written by men, but that it was written by God. Now, that's pretty crazy. I love to think about it, don't you? Do you realize that in Romans 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul called the Pentateuch the oracles of God? Go read that, Romans 3, 1 and 2. He called it the oracles of God. Y'all realize what that an oracle is? That means an infallible authority. So it's wild, isn't it, that Paul in the first century thought the writings of Moses to be perfect, infallible, could not contain an error. The first five books of the Bible. And does everybody in here understand that they didn't Xerox copy it? It wasn't Xerox copied. It wasn't. There was no printing press till Gutenberg. That didn't matter. You tell me where Paul says. Where does anybody in the Bible say? Well, if you've got an original autographed copy, it's the Word of God. Y'all ever heard that mess? Jesus Christ one day got up in the synagogue and he read from the scroll of the book of Isaiah. They brought it to him and he read, and he called it scripture. He said, this day, remember that? This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Y'all remember that? And the Lord Jesus Christ did not pause and say, no, wait a minute, let me see if this is an autographed copy by Isaiah. No, it was a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. And yet he believed it to be scripture. Can you say amen? You want to get the full effect? You want to get the full effect? That is the degree to which we need to esteem and respect God's word. As from God, even though God used men. There's no doubt God used men. But you know what the doctrine of inspiration says? That God overrode those men so that what they wrote could not have a mistake in it. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing God did was preserve it. While those scribes, sitting in caves with an oil lamp, writing with a goose quill, copied it so that there was no mistake when it got to Isaiah and it got to Christ and in the first century. Can you imagine? Do you believe God intervenes like that in the lives of men? Do you? And then not only that, in 1611 he got it in perfect English. Did you know it takes a lot to believe? Did you know it takes a lot of faith to believe this is the Word of God? You've got to believe God inspired it, kept men from making mistakes. You've got to believe God preserved it. David said, thy word, you'll keep the word. I'll keep Psalm 12. If I thought about that before now, I'd have looked it up. Anyway, he's going to keep his words in all generations. Jesus Christ said, my word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall not pass away. So can you believe that while they were being copied by those scribes in caves using oil lamps, that God preserved it inerrant? Can you believe that? And then God got it into English over a long period of time, the perfect English of 1611. And since I said that, this is what Daniel taught me the other day when Daniel was here working on the front door. Daniel was here working on the front door. Brother Gary was not working on the front door. Brother Gary's too dumb. Are you listening? Odd. The way the less the Bible is read, the more it is translated. Daniel quoted that to me. That C.S. Lewis said that. You want me to read to you again? Do you? Lucy says yes. Okay, Lucy. I'm so glad. Lucy knows I'm going to read it again anyway, didn't she, Lucy? Lucy knows I'm going to read it again. Ah! The way way, the less the Bible is read, the more it is translated. Now, thus saith C.S. Lewis. Gary Harvey wants to add something to that. Imagine that. Thus saith Gary Harvey. And the more it is translated, the less it is read. Are we willing to stand on this? Do you realize this book right here was the foundation of a civilized society for 400 plus years, but we want to depart it? Okay. You want to get the full effect? We're going to have to believe with all our hearts that God has given us the Word of God. And when you hear a man read it and preach it, you need to believe that it is in truth the Word of God that is being preached. Can you say amen? It's not just the Word of men. I mean, you know, I just read C.S. Lewis. I thought that was pretty snazzy. Daniel quoted that to me. Daniel quoted that to me, and I said, hold a minute. Wait a minute. I want to write that down. I went and wrote it down. He was still working on the door. And then I wanted to add a little bit to it. You know how I am. But I don't think C.S. Lewis is inspired. Now, what he said is true. But he made mistakes. I've read some of his stuff, and it's full of mistakes. Okay. So, there you go. You want to get the full effect of the Word of God? I want the full effect. I want it to affect me. I want it to alter me, change me, make me better. Ultimately, what I would like the Bible and the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God to convert me on a daily basis. As much as I need it, and I need it. How many of you might need your thinking adapted once in a while? Reckon? Okay, goodness gracious. Okay, now, so if you want the full effect, what else are you going to have to do? Well, let's look at the rest of the verse. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm glad you let me yell at you every Sunday, wave my arms. When Mike is adjusting the, this is funny, when Mike is adjusting the camera, make sure, he says, raise your arms, make sure. That's what he tells me. I know. Anyway. Because you believed, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Now the next part, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That means the gospel, if you believe it, will have an effect on you. Mm-hmm. Now let me tell you what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean that the gospel is what gets you born again. You want to know why? Because before you're born again, you're too dead to understand it. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. Spiritually dead people don't understand the spiritual communication. I have yet to see a dead person listening to the radio. You? We went to Silver Dollar City with Seth and Christy yesterday. Yes, I rode a roller coaster. In fact, I rode so many of my face is windburned. Me and Seth on the front of that roller coaster. Anyway, and it went upside down. But anyway, and we listened to some bluegrass music. There was not one dead person listening to that bluegrass music. Every person listening to that music was physically, corporeally alive. Did you know music has no effect on a dead person? Are you listening? Same thing is true of spiritual things. The gospel is of no more effect to a spiritually dead person than music is to a physically dead person. So this is not saying that the gospel is part of the process whereby you are born again. What this is saying, if you want the full effect of it, you gotta believe it. You gotta believe it. Did you know? I tell you something else. You know, I've read in literature, you know, that like the sailors back in the day, the sailors used to have such respect for the Bible. They respected the Bible. And they kept it in their haversack and never looked at it. They thought it was the Word of God, but they never looked at it. I wonder how much benefit they got. you're with me. You want the full effect? Well, oh, y'all, we have to believe what the Bible says. If we want it to affect us and change us and help us think straight, right, and walk right and live right, we got to believe it. Well, I say that, and that's not always the easiest thing. I'm going to admit that. No, here's what happens. We get convinced of something, right? We get convinced of something, and we can get convinced of something inaccurate, right? And we get convinced of something that's inaccurate, that came to us from some extra biblical source, right? And we've got this thing that we, this idea here, and if we're not really careful, we will read the Bible trying to prove what we already believe. Don't ask me how I know. May I say that will not, okay, may I say it? You want the full effect? Do you want the full effect of the gospel? Do you want it to affect you the most? Do you want the gospel to knock you the lowest and raise you the highest? That is not the way to do it. To read the Bible to prove what I think, what I want. Brother Harold taught me years ago, one of the most difficult things to do is read the Bible with a completely open spiritual mind. Lord, what would you have me understand out of this? That was a cosmic thing Brother Harold taught me. Y'all with me? If you're going to get the full effect of the Bible and the gospel, and if you're going to have the best life, first thing you got to do is believe what the Bible says. And measure everything by that. Can you say amen? Oh my goodness. Okay. I think I'd be willing to say that the Bible teaches us the ultimate stuff of reality. Right? I mean, it teaches us stuff about reality that you're not going to hear anywhere else. Angels, we've been studying angels. The conscience of man, how the conscience of man works. You're going to hear that from Freud? If I tell you what I think of Freud, you're going to... I call him Sigmund Freud. He was highly intellectual, fairly well educated, dirty old man. That's my opinion. But anyway. Do you think his writings are going to help you know how your inner conscience functions, what's going on inside you, how you know what's... How do you have any inkling? Are you listening? Think about it. If you realize what man is fallen, how in the world does any person have any inkling what is really right or wrong? The only way you can have any inkling of what's really right or wrong is if God gives you spiritual life and writes his laws in your heart, and therefore you've got something by which to measure standards of behavior. Other than that, oh me. You want to get the full effect of God's word, you're going to have to believe what the Bible says. I tell you something else. Y'all, we're going to have to believe the Bible even if it proves us wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? I am so firmly of the opinion that the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. Now, a lot of people say that, don't really believe it. I believe it. Right here is the marriage manual. Right here's the child rearing manual. Right here's the theological treatise that we all need to understand on what we should preach and what we should not. right here is some of the bedrock truth of science that was in God's Word before men ever discovered it, in order to eventually try to depart from it. Amen? Did you know the Bible taught the earth was round before men ever discovered that? The Bible taught the water cycle before men ever discovered that? The Bible talks about gravity, didn't use the word gravity, before men ever discovered that. The Bible taught us that there's heat inside the earth before men ever discovered magma or anything like that. Isn't that crazy? Here's a really good question today. How am I going to define marriage? How am I going to do that? You can't marry a horse. Amen. To get the full effect, are you with me? Paul was proud, I mean proud is not the word, thankful for the church of Thessalonica because the gospel had an effective work in their lives. It had converted them, educated them, helped them have a better life. Let me ask you, did they have a better life after they were converted from their paganism? Did they have a better life after that? They left all that rigmarole, and then all they did was meet every Sunday and listen to Emmanuel and be dear. And sing hymns and do stuff that, I mean, you know, what? That's just silly, isn't it? That is it possible that so silly, so, you know, non, you know, can be so important and so soul nourishing and strengthening that we can have strength as we need to make it through our next day.
Amen.
I believe it so strongly. If you're going to get the full effect, you need to believe what the Bible says. We need to believe what the Bible says, even if we have to rethink things. Now, I don't want to do that. You know what that means? If I've got to rethink something, automatically, I'm confessing that I was wrong. I was wrong. That was my Fonzie imitation. You know, Fonzie could not say wrong. Fonzie could not say I. Of course, I'm dating myself. I know happy days. You young people never heard of such a thing. There was this character, and he could not be brought to say that he was ever wrong about anything. He would say, I was right. Well, if we're going to get the full effect of the gospel, we're going to have to be willing to admit that we might possibly, perhaps, out of stretch, be wrong about something, and that God's word is here to correct us, which is what he tells us in his word, right? We might even have to accept the fact that we're wrong about something we've assumed to be true for a long time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some of you are saying, because it's happened to you too, right?
Right.
It's happened to you too. It's happened to me too. Oh, let me tell you, God's word, if you'll believe it, it'll knock you flat and it'll lift you up. It'll take the breath out of you in order to give you the breath of God to go further than you ever could have dreamed. But you got to believe it. The gospel's so great. I am absolutely convinced that the Bible's a thorough furnisher for all good works. Are you? I believe the Bible's a thorough furnisher. Do you? But it will do you no good if you don't believe it. That's what this is saying. If you want the full effect of gospel truth, you've got to believe it. You can't refuse to believe it. We can't, we can do that. We can refuse to believe it. Sure. And sometimes people do, especially the first time they hear the truth. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people, it's, you know, for whatever reason. But may I say, if we refuse to believe the truth of God's word, we will not get the full effect of it. It will not affect us. We will not have the best life. Listen, God's elect are all going to go to heaven. Nothing can stop that. Not the devils, not you, can stop that. We sang it in that great hymn this morning, didn't we? But in the meanwhile, God wants you and me to have the best life we can have right here. To enjoy life, to have the best life, to enjoy the most. To have the least number of complications and problems and trials and prison houses that we live in. Can you say amen to that? This is the great benefit of believing the gospel of Christ. To have this life that is, it's so great you can't even hardly comprehend it, that you can have peace while the world beats itself to pieces around you.
Amen.
Okay, so we need to believe the Bible, even if we have to rethink some things. May I ask you, how much did Christ require the first century Jews to rethink? Nearly everything. Think about everything they had to adjust. You know part of their problem? Are you listening? Part of their problem was they had been mistaught. They had been taught. Are you listening? They had been taught stuff that their forefathers had added to this for centuries. Okay, I'm gonna make a statement here, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't care a snap of my fingers for what's written by my Baptist forefathers unless it is according to thus saith the Word of God. And I'll never be anything other than a Baptist. I'm not making fun of anybody else. I'm just talking about me. I'm not making fun of anyone. I want you to know that I know the Baptists have been wrong about some stuff too. I want you to know that. Mm-hmm. I know that. Can Baptists be wrong about anything? Mm-hmm. I don't like it. Are y'all with me? I don't like it. I don't want it. I've already given you my lecture on creeds and confessions, right? Mm-hmm. I won't give you the snap of my fingers for creeds and confessions unless they're according to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Great deal said in the world today about Reformed theology. I don't even want Reformed theology. I want the theology formed by Christ and the apostles. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. Not being mean, not trying to pick on anybody. I'm asking you, do we want the full effect? Do we want the full effect of the Word of God? And if we want the full effect of the Word of God, I say we're going to have to emphasize the Word of God. Overall, over everything. Measure everything by that, including Freud, and on and on and on. Okay, goodness gracious. You believe me too, don't you? You believe me too. I know. All right. John 8, in support of my premise. I love it when I get to read what Brother Joe Becker used to call the red writing. Brother Joe Becker loved that red writing. You all remember that? He loved it. I love it too. John 8:30. And as he spake these words, our Lord, many believed on him. Okay, Paul, Is this when they got born again? 1,000 times no. They had to have been born again first in order to be able to believe. That is, never forget that. Life precedes action. Spiritual life precedes spiritual action. Spiritual life precedes spiritual cognition or thinking. Okay. But as he spoke, many believed on him. And he spake these words. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now, who's he talking to? The Jews that believed on him. Here's what he said to them. He did not say to them, hey, you want to get the full effect? But that's what he said. He didn't say, hey, you Jews, you want the full effect? Do you want the full effect of the gospel of Christ? He did not, but he kind of said the same thing. All right, listen. If you continue in my word, first thing we're going to have to do is believe it. We're going to have to believe it above all else. We're going to believe it if it corrects us, if it scolds us. We're going to have to believe it if it tells us we're wrong. Y'all, we're going to have to believe it if it tells us the world is wrong. We're going to have to believe it. And then he said, if ye continue in my word, if you continue in my word, you'll go to heaven finally. No. Then are you my disciples indeed. He's talking about discipleship here, not sonship. He's talking about people that are sons of God moving to become disciples of Christ. All right, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free of all kinds of trials and problems and errors and mistakes and heartaches while you live. Can you say amen? Mm-hmm. These are the words of our Lord. I think you know what he's talking about. So I'll say the second thing we're going to have to do is we've got to continue in the word. You got to believe it and then continue in it. The worst thing we can do is depart the word of God. I think we need some of it every day. Read it every day. Read the proverb of the day if you don't do anything else. I've told you that for many years now. Do you not find it mildly curious that there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs? So you can read the proverb of the day every month. And then if there aren't 31 days, you know, stop February 28th, you can either read the rest if you want, or you can go back and start one on March 1. Isn't that cool? I recommend you read the proverb of the day. It is fantastic. I've been doing it for years now, and it just gets richer and richer and richer. Starts like it gets gooder and gooder, but I decided not to. Where'd that come from? I have no idea. Okay, you want the full effect? Do you want the full effect? Do you? Do you want the gospel to mean the most to you? Do you want the most do you want the most blessing out of the gospel? Do you want the most? I'm telling you how to do it. You got to believe it. You got to continue in it. Now, you can't imagine how horrible it is to have to live with me. Why? Every person that's snickering is a woman. What is up with that? To live with a weird person who upset. I've been obsessing about Romans now for almost a year. All Romans, all the time. Brother Mike's such a help to me. So I've been thinking about this sermon. So I was at home. I said, "Hey Becky, how'd you preach this?" So I'm gonna give you her sermon. Here's her version of it. Now, if you like hers better, keep it to yourself. Here's what Becky said. I said, "Hey, honey, how would you preach it if you want to get the full effect?" She said, "Read it. Read it. You want the full effect? Bible's not going to do you a bit of good if you're like those sailors who kept it in the bottom of their knapsack and never read it. Are you with me? Read it." And then I'll add, "That's pretty sure." And I'm giving you all these big, long explanations. Read it. And then I added, of course, too many practicing Christians don't. why false doctrine is received so widely in America, because people don't read their Bibles.
Amen.
Or they read a perversion. You know, I've got a Bible in here that's a comic book. I've got a Bible in here that's a GQ magazine. In the form of that. Right in here in my office. The Bible is not supposed to be simple like a comic book. It's about God. Now, y'all, I think the English is perfect. Most of the time, the English in here is about the 9th, 10th grade level. It's got some big words in there, but give me the chance to explain those words to you. I'd like to do that. But most of the time, this word, this Bible in here about the 10th grade level, well, okay, I should, okay, let me qualify that. What used to be the 10th grade level nowadays, I don't know. But, you know, it used to be. So the problem with the Bible, are you listening, is not the English. I'm going to say the English is perfect. I don't believe we should change a word of it. The reason the Bible is not always easy, because it's about God. That's the reason. And I think it may be, we've discussed this in Bible study a little bit, I think it may be that God has sort of left the word like this to prove whether we're willing to work hard enough to dig it out of there. Are you with me? You're going to have to continue in the Word. Continue in it. Oh, me. How I want you to. So bad. All right, now. All right, so continue in it. Becky said, read it. And then she said, this is even simpler. Do it. That's Becky's sermon. Read it. Do it. Well, what do y'all think about that? That's pretty good preaching. Oh, now you see why Becky's my most trusted advisor. Do it! All right, well, what's going to happen when you and I are told to do something and we do not fully understand the why or the end result? What are we going to do? Are we going to trust God? Are we going to accept this as the Word of God when the Lord tells us to do something? Kevin Kennedy preached on the marriage of Cana in Galilee down there when he was at Donaldson, the marriage of Cana in Galilee. Well, they're at this marriage and they run out of wine. And Mary says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. That's the best advice you could ever give anybody. Whatever Christ says to you, do it. Even if you don't understand all the whys and wherefores, you don't understand the full effect of it, the reason behind it, do it. And so, now they've run out of wine. But think about this. And the Lord said, okay, fill the water pots with water. And I would have said, we don't need water. We need wine. What would you have said? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And sometimes, are you listening? You want the full effect? Sometimes if we'll do what God says, trusting and believing, we too can see a miracle. Yeah. Like the water turned to wine. I believe this with all my heart. So Becky said, read it. Do it. And then she said, reread it. That's about the best sermon I ever heard in my life. I thought, I was thinking, honey, that's really good preaching. Reread it. You know what that means? Continue in the Word. Continue in it. See, here's the thing about this book. I've read a lot of books in my life. I've probably read too many. I've read some books maybe I shouldn't have read. I have never read a book that you can study for a lifetime and never even hardly scratch the surface other than this one. It is the most philosophically, historically, scientifically interesting book ever written. And I know it was written by 40-odd men, but I tell you, it was written by one mind.
Amen.
One mind wrote this book. And if you're going to get the full effect of it, you need to believe that. And do like Becky tells you. Read it, do it, reread it. And then, she said, ask questions. Ask questions. This is going to hurt a little bit. If you read the Bible, you will have questions.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
You will have questions. Because I love you so much, but you're not that smart, neither am I. I've got questions. Now, if you want to make your pastor's day, text him your question, or call him, or email him, or drop by the office, or whatever. Please put it out of your mind that you will bother the pastor. You will make his day. And he may have to say, I don't know. But he can do that. Yes, sir. I've had to do that a lot. And then Becky added one more. So, here's Becky's sermon. Read it. Do it. Reread it. Ask questions. And then she said, go to church. It does not get simpler or better than that. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
You want to get the full effect? You better be in church. Now, I want to. I love you so. I love you so. Attend church where the Bible is preached. Not where it isn't. That's hard. That's hard. That's tough. For the Bible is explained, not explained away. For the preaching of the word is the number one top priority. Number one, top priority. Where it is not a side issue, an afterthought. I'm not trying to be mean, but I believe that you want the full effect. Do you want the full effect? Do you want the full effect? Okay, just let me say a few things here. We're going to have to believe what the Bible says, even if it contradicts us, right? Mm-hmm. Believe it if it contradicts even your parents. Don't disrespect your parents, okay? Believe it if it contradicts your professors. It will. It used to be, in the days of C.S. Lewis and before, that you could be a really strong Christian and be a professor at Oxford and Cambridge. Do you know that they did not give C.S. Lewis the proper advancements in his career there because of his Christianity? Did y'all know that? He never got a full professorship. One of the most brilliant men. Maybe the last of the great scholars. And he still suffered even then. But these days, no college would allow that such a guy. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to believe the Bible, even if it contradicts your newscaster, your political party. You want the full effect? Do you want the full effect? I'm asking. Or even if it contradicts some crack-brained TV preacher. And I know that's rude. There are some of those out there. Dr. Charles Stanley died this week. I would not put him in that category. I would not put Dr. Charles Stanley in that category. I've always envied him. He had the smoothest delivery. You know, when they set the camera up for the Facebook, they didn't care. They didn't have to go up. They weren't worried about him waving his arms. He was smooth as silk. So I'm not talking about all of them out there, but there are some out there you got to watch. Can I tell you how to know the difference? You want to know how the difference? Do like Becky says, read it. Do it. Reread it. Now, y'all, it's simple for me to say that, isn't it? You say to me, Brother Gary, that's easier said than done. I know it. But I'm telling you, that's just, it's sometimes it's not that it's hard to cognate or figure it out, but acting it out is always where the rub comes, isn't it? Because there's something in us that doesn't want to do it, something in us that's lazy, something in us that wants our own way, right? And you know what? If we're not really careful, we will think that sin is an exercise of our freedom. When sin, every time, winds up limiting our freedom. Every time. Okay. Attend church where the gospel is the focal point. Number one top priority. I'm not trying to be mean. Not where the gospel is a side effect. This is hard. Not where the primary thing is small groups or concerts or praise performances or psychological pep talks or dances. And yes, I've seen that. I've seen it. Not trying to be mean. I say nothing is more important to me and you as Christian believers than the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's how you get the full effect. It's how you live the best life. It's how you have the best life. How you have, you want to have more peace? Now, y'all, look, when I say peace, I am not talking about the world all of a sudden calm down. I'm talking about you having peace even while the world's crazy. You want something about that? The gospel of Christ is the only answer. You want to quit worrying about who's going to heaven and who isn't? You want to quit worrying about it? Finally accept the fact that God has it under control. That God set that into effect before the foundation of the world. That Christ stood as a lamb slain from back then. It's a done deal, settled. Quit worrying about that. You do not have the eternal burden of trying to make sure people get to heaven. Christ has already done that. And that's one of the most important things for you to believe if you want peace in your life and you want the full effect. I appreciate your great attention. What a crazy sermon.